Good afternoon, everyone. I think we should probably get started, just in the interest of time. So this is the Occupational Health 2 section. It's Paul Revere Got the Word Out. And we're going to hear a little bit about the development and implementation of a social media strategy, as well as the use of infographics. And also, we're going to actually hear a little bit about partnerships, and you should know that Paul Revere actually had some partners on his ride from Boston to Concord. I don't know if he ever made it to Concord, but he did have partners. So it all ties together. I also want to give a plug for soccer, because Ken said I had to. So if you want to play soccer, rain or shine. I know. Anyway, 6:30 Sheraton Lobby. Our first speaker is Sarah Radigan. She's from the Occupational Health Surveillance Program in the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. She has her Master's in Health Communication from Tufts University in 2009, and we've been really fortunate to have her in OHSP on our staff since that time. She's a health communication specialist, and she's going to be presenting on using social media to promote data for action, a look at the Massachusetts Teens at Work project. Sarah?
Thank you all for coming to this session. I'd like to recognize Beatrice Fotten and Tish Davis on the project for being supportive of keeping social media as a priority in the face of challenges that we can sometimes have working with under the umbrella of a state health department while using social media. Actually, before I start, I know it's not a huge group, can I just get a show of hands of how many of you are on social media for personal use in some way, shape, or form? It's pretty much everyone. And how many of you are on in some kind of professional capacity as well? Okay. All right. No? The first one was a lie? Okay. I'm just curious. I'm on in both respects as well. I use Facebook specifically for personal stuff only, and Twitter for a more professional ways, including to promote our work in OHSP. Just a quick overview of what I'm going to talk about, and why we want to use social media and the Teens at Work project, steps we took in developing a strategy, piloting the strategy, assessing it to see whether or not it made a difference in our outreach, and just some conclusions. So first, a quick overview of the Teens at Work project. And going forward, you'll see it in the slides as TAW. We're both a comprehensive surveillance and intervention system for work-related injuries to teens less than 18 years of age. And we get our data from multiple sources, including workers' compensation, lost wage claims, and emergency department reports. And we use this data to identify certain cases of teen injuries to conduct follow-up interviews with, and that in turn can lead to employer follow-up. We also generate summary data to document statewide trends that we can use to help us in better targeting more broad-based intervention. And because we're both surveillance and intervention in one, we're always trying to think of new ways to use our data to promote prevention activities and new ways to be more accessible to people and be interesting to different audiences. And a couple examples of ways we try to do that. We have an annual report that comes out each April, the time with the end of school year. It looks at the most recent five-year period of data that we have on work-related injuries to teens in Massachusetts. It gives a summary of that data. But in addition to the summary, we like to try and pull something out to feature to target a subset of our audience so that over the years we can keep them engaged. And here's an example. One year we focused on teens working in nursing homes because that group has very high rates of injury. We've also looked at middle school students working because they are working in Massachusetts, even though in most cases they should not be. We've had a piece on parents, what parents can be doing. So we try and do that as a more creative way of promoting our data. Another initiative that we work on is an annual Safe Jobs for Youth poster contest that we co-host with multiple state agencies and federal agencies, as well as our local COSH group. This design was done by a 16-year-old teen this has been modified. You might actually, if you take the T in around Boston, you might see this. This is supposed to be up on the subways and buses throughout the city. But we found that over the years, teachers are assigning the poster contest to their classes, so this is actually a great way to get teachers and youth to actually look more at our data and read more about health and safety in order to design compelling posters so they can win a prize. We also have an award ceremony tied to the poster contest. This is this past year's award ceremony at our State House. We invite all the finalists of the poster contest, their families and legislators from their districts to attend. We have had a great turnout the past several years, and we were lucky to have our new Secretary of Labor be the keynote this past year ceremony, and the keynote speaker always references our data in their message to promote health and safety for young workers. So that's another way. But we're always trying to think of new ways, and it seems like social media is a given. According to the Pew Research Center, 95% of all teens are online, and 81% of them are currently using some kind of social media. I think that's going to continue to grow, especially as tablets and smartphones become more affordable. And while we don't target teens, in most cases directly, we do target those who work with youth, and they're also online because the teens are. It's just the way the world is working. That's how a lot of conversations are happening today. But it's not enough to just be on social media. You can't just create a Facebook page and they will come. In this little conversation prism, you see, like, there are hundreds, there's just so many different types of platforms and channels out there. I don't even know what half of these are. To use it effectively for your outreach, you really have to understand the platforms. You have to know which platforms to be using to meet your goals. So we wanted to develop a social media strategy to reach educators and other youth-serving stakeholders. And we wanted to be able to just do a pilot, a test run of it, to see if it was making a difference in addition to our other outreach. Because we didn't have a lot of resources to put into and time to be putting into developing a big social media strategy, we used a tool called Social Media Works by the CDC, and it basically, it's a tool that holds your hand through all of the steps that you would take to develop an effective social media strategy and how to implement it. And it also has a big, I'm not going to say big, a reasonable library of a lot of different types of social media platforms, and it gives you an overview of what they do, how you'd use them in case you're unfamiliar. The Social Media Works tool is built on a tested algorithm, so a lot of the steps that you go through involve pre-populated fields, so you don't have to come up with a lot of content, you just have to choose a lot of content. The first step after setting up an account, it asks you what your goals are. These are the three goals that we chose from, I think, four or five pre-populated fields. It also allows you to make your audience as broad or as narrow as you want. Ours was pretty broad because there are all sorts of different types of people working with youth, but you can actually get down to very narrow age groups, different income levels, and again, it's based on a tested algorithm, so the outputs that it gives you will be based on what you put in here. And you have to fill in specifically what you want your audience to know, feel, and do, and I do want to just emphasize that. In adding social media, we wanted our audience to take some kind of step to keeping young workers safe. So that could be something as small as requesting our educational materials. It could be larger, like working internally in the organization to change policies that might. So it could be any spectrum, but just some kind of step as a result. An example of some of our other inputs, we wanted to increase web hits and social shares as a result of using social media. I'll also point out our monthly budget was at the very low end of $0 to $7,000 a year. It also actually asks how many hours a week you have. I didn't put that up here, but I selected the 1 to 5 hours per week. And based on all of our inputs, our goals, our money or time available, these were the recommended strategies, recommended platforms for a strategy, recommended by the CDC tool. Number one was Facebook and a blog. Those were the primary recommended channels. It's nice to hear that NIOSH also finds the blog to be useful, since this was a primary recommended platform, and then secondarily websites, Twitter and Google+. And A nice thing about this tool is that it also gives you a justification as to why it's telling you you should use it for your strategy, so it's not blind, you actually learn in the process of it. It also gives you a list of platforms that are not recommended, and it gives you a justification for that. Email was not recommended for us because we wanted to be building partnerships, for example. So we had to refine our strategy because we do work underneath within a health department, and they use some social media but not others. So at the time we were doing this, Facebook just wasn't an option, even though it was one of the number one recommended strategies, so we had to cross that off the list. I took Google Plus off the list because I still think the way people use that is evolving, and it's not as large a user base, so people are less familiar with it. So we were left with a blog, which was still a top recommended channel, followed by websites and Twitter, and within our health department, we could do all of those things. So the next step was figuring out how we wanted to apply the social media. And again, we didn't have time to really do a huge comprehensive strategy, not knowing if it was going to benefit the project. So we chose to use social media during peak outreach periods. And so that would be our poster contest, the announcement in October, the award ceremony in March, and then our surveillance update mailing, the print mailing that goes out, which also ties into Safe Jobs for Youth Month, which our governor typically declares in response to MassCosh making a request. So October, March, April, May would be the periods. And these are the social media that we decided to apply to those periods. So I had mentioned before our objectives were to increase hits, web hits to our most popular materials. And web pages, so we set an ambitious goal of increasing hits during these periods by 50%. And we wanted to increase Twitter and other social kinds of shares as well, and I didn't set an amount because we hadn't really looked at that before, so just by any amount would be great. And we compared 3 years of outreach, and so we had been using social media for a while, but in 2012 it was really scattered. So we would tweet if something came up, or we might do a blog post, but it wasn't consistent all the time. In 2013, we actually used a lot of social media, as did some of our partner agencies, but it was uncoordinated, it wasn't planned, it wasn't timed together, and then 2014, we would apply the strategy. So in looking at our results, so for our poster contest award ceremony, you'll see a big increase, jump from in the year of 2013, which was the uncoordinated use, but just using a lot of social media. And actually, the Department of Labor Standards in our state was very active on social media during those peak periods. So we saw an 83% increase in hits to all of our web pages combined. And I also broke out just the poster contest web page that you could see as well, since that it was during the poster contest award ceremony. But it looked like people were going to a lot of our other pages in addition. And we did still have a modest increase in 2014 when we applied the strategy as well. And here's some examples of the social media that we had applied. I said we were going to use Twitter to announce the awards contest, award ceremony. You'll see our Department of Public Health tweeted. I tweeted our partner agency, Commonwealth Corporation. So that's just a sample of some of the Twitter. We did do a blog that was posted several days after the awards ceremony. And actually, the ethnic media coordinator in our communications office also attended the award ceremony and posted a blog on it in Spanish as well. That was the 2014 winning poster. And we were able to put up a feature story on our Department of Health homepage. So anyone coming to the Department of Public Health website would see this as the number two story for, I think, about a month. We also had an increase in web hits to our pages during the poster contest announcement, the print mailing, where we advertised through Twitter and on some of our partner websites. This slide was this was awesome. So for our surveillance update mailing, this is April through May, where we do our big, massive print mailing and then have our Safe Jobs for Youth Month. We had an increase in hits to our website, all of our popular materials, in 2013 with uncoordinated use, but we had a 100% increase to, I was like, wow, I didn't, when I looked at this again, I was like, wow, I didn't realize it was that much. So that's great. And I also broke out on this chart our teen guide. We have a Massachusetts guide for working teens, and it covers pretty much everything we would want a teen under 18 to know working in Massachusetts. It covers child labor laws, identifying hazards, workers' compensation information they should know about, and a lot of educators use this. They want to give it to teens. So we had a huge increase in hits to our teen guide specifically. In terms of social shares, using Google Analytics, we were able to see, it's modest, but in both 2013 and 2014, we had a 7 to 8% of those who went to our poster contest webpage were referred there by some kind of social media. And in looking closer, about half of those were from Facebook. This is really interesting to us because we didn't promote on Facebook. So it means someone else had posted something there. And actually, mobile Facebook specifically were a lot of those. So we know that people are getting there. We're getting there in that small percent by some kind of mobile device. And while I couldn't see anyone getting to our Teens at Work homepage by some kind of other social media, 7 to 9% of the visitors shared the URL in some way. And here's some of the social shares that we could find just by scanning the web. This is an art teacher in Massachusetts assigning the poster contest to her class on a website. It was actually an installment of 6 different assignments for our Safe Jobs for Youth poster contest. At our award ceremony, this was a local reporter in Massachusetts tweeting a finalist poster, finalist in her area, and this reporter did not attend our award ceremony, so she must have gotten it through some kind of social media, so that was our website. And I actually, this is from 2013, the year it was more uncoordinated, but where the Secretary of Labor at the time, she ended up live tweeting throughout the entire award ceremony, even though she was speaking. And again, we didn't know if she was going to do that, but our governor ended up retweeting it, so that was great. And I'll, we didn't aim to increase the quantities of materials requested, the print materials requested in these time periods, but I still looked at the print quantities because that's how traditionally we've gotten requests is through our Teens at Work update mailing. Over the years, 2012, 2013, and 2014, they've remained pretty stable despite increased use of social media and increased hits to our website, so that was actually, I think, important to know. And fine-tuning, if we were to go forward with this, which we already are, I think that we'll need to do more listening and learning on the web. Again, we did kind of a bare-bones strategy for this because we didn't have the time and resources to put into it without knowing it was going to really be effective. But we need to listen more about how our target audience is talking on social media, how they're communicating with teens on social media, how they're communicating with other professionals so that we can fine-tune our strategy. And we need to be doing more two-way communication as well, which is a challenge because we work through our health department, but that's a goal. And in addition to peak outreach times to apply social media, we're going to be doing a monthly themed social media outreach, a monthly blog with Twitter around it and everything referencing back to our website and materials, and we'll try and work more with partners as well. So there were a few limitations to this. We couldn't use Facebook, which was a number one recommended strategy. That may change going forward. We have to, it looks like there may be a possibility to do that, so we'll look into it. All of our social media is under the umbrella of our health department, so we can't have like a Teens at Work face. It's everything going out says MassDPH. And they have a lot of other stuff going out besides occupational health and safety. We're not the top priority in our health department, so we have a lot of other messages we're competing with, and they also don't do a lot of two-way communication. They do a lot of pushing out, but not a lot of conversation. And then finally, how much of the success that we seem to see is from our social media strategy, and how much is from increased popularity in our poster contest, how much is just more people being online in general, we don't know. But that said, we still think the project outreach is more successful while implementing social media. I think partner coordination would make it even better if we could especially coordinate better with partners like the Department of Labor Standards, who have more control over the use of their social media and time with them and work with them. I think it would be more successful. We do need to continue with our print mailing. All those, the quantities of materials requested, most of those came in through fax request forms. So schools and other organizations still depend on that print mailing for outreach. And using social media works was useful in building our strategy. And I'd like to acknowledge everyone here and specifically the OHSP staff, because they're going to be helping with this monthly social media. In fact, there's a blog post that I believe went up today on asthma and cleaning products written by Elise. So I think you'd take any questions, suggestions, comments.
I'm sorry, I missed this part, but can you share the CDC program that you used?
Yes, let me go back to that slide. Called CDC Social Media Works, and there's actually a whole suite of products called CDC Health Comm Works. There's a message building works product. If you search for this, it will come up, but the website is below. Yeah.
So can you explain, so I'm a little confused about this,
okay.
In the advertising world, they're talking about mobile advertising now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that this is all functions as well through mobile. Certainly Twitter does.
Mm-hmm.
These other things, that's all taken into consideration, these big changes.
It should be, is the answer. We operate, though, again, under our health department, so the truth is, well, so Twitter defaults to a mobile website if you go to it. Our health department, as last I checked, does not switch to a mobile version, so it actually isn't as easy to look at on your phone. You can. So, yes, it should. We don't really have as much control over that as we would like to, but I think our department's working on it. But yeah, most Facebook will default. Yeah, I mean, most of the big social media platforms will automatically default to the mobile version if you access it on your phone or a tablet. So. Yeah.
I'm curious to know a little bit more about the blog, because our department won't let us have blogs. Do you have one where people can comment and you have dialogue with them?
No. How does it work? Sure. Okay, so our health department has a blog. So there's a Mass Public Health blog, and we have a workplace health and safety category that we ask them to put on. So people can, you can put your blog posts in any category you want. So it's not our own blog. It's part of, again, larger health department blog, so lots of other people are blogging too. So it's not like you go and you'll automatically see a workplace health and safety related blog. When you go, you'd have to search for it. Versus if we had our own blog, everything would be related to occupational health and safety. But again, because we're under our health department, they don't allow for user comments, which is kind of gets away from the whole social media two-way conversation thing. So that's a challenge we're working.
So how do you drive people to your blog?
Well, if we tweet, so anytime we have a blog, the department tweets about it, I can tweet about it, we can get our other partners maybe to tweet about it, that's the primary way. If we were to do some kind of email outreach, which we don't typically do, we could do it that way. We could actually, thinking about it, add a link to our website that directs people to the blog. I think a lot of our email signatures have the blog website in it, but I don't know what the DPH is doing to drive people to the blog. They just kind of assume we have actually more followers than a lot of the health departments in the state, even though we don't engage in two-way conversation. It's very interesting. You could. Okay.
So. Did you encounter initial resistance to the project? No. Talking about being in state and constrained by health.
Right. So we didn't, but we didn't really tell our health department that we were doing a more formal strategy until after it was mostly. Yeah, exactly. So that wasn't so much a challenge. And I have to say, I have a good relationship with the two key people in our communications office who really drive the social media, but they don't make all of the rules around it. So that's where the John Jacob and Omar Cabrera in our communications. Sorry, let's go there and then to Meredith. Okay.
So kind of, I guess, similar to other government organizations, as far as using Facebook, is it, mm-hmm. are the restrictions placed on it because you know, there's a concern that you're going to use it at work for personal use, that sort of thing. Is that the reason? I'm just trying to figure out if there was a way to kind of look at, okay, well, why is this being blocked? Instead
right.
of just also just kind of taking it away and not having another mm-hmm. option, like, you know, a lot of government organizations, I think, need to kind of, you know, open up to this, because the reality is everybody has Facebook on their phone and they have Facebook.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I hate to say that, but that's kind of the reality. So I don't think the restriction at work for that sort of thing, I guess I'm looking at it from the standpoint of productivity.
Right.
Is productivity actually going to change from your workers if Facebook were allowed? I think that's kind of what the root problem might be of not allowing Facebook. Oh, you know, we don't want to go that route. But if you were able to find some data that kind of shows, hey, you know what, productivity actually doesn't change whether Facebook is mm-hmm. on, you know, available to people or not, which I think there's probably enough private industry out there that shows that there's
it's
no
not gonna yeah make
it's
a
not
difference.
Change your productivity.
I'm not 100% sure of it, and again, I think things
security,
are changing. It sounds like we potentially have the opportunity to use Facebook now. I'm not sure what the exact reasons were before, whether it had to do with worker productivity or whether it had to do with them not trusting people to run Facebook pages. I think the question now is whether or not we could, whether or not we have the capacity to maintain a Facebook page, I think is their current issue. I think they have standards of how often, like there's two programs within the health department I know of that actually have Facebook pages. So, yeah.
Kind of like one of those things, like we have one, I know we have something through, you know, BLS, but where it's maintained and who maintains it is a different story, and obviously we can't access it. So it's kind of this, you know, it really, you can't have that free-flowing mm-hmm. conversation if not everybody can access
right.
it. You know, appropriate work.
Exactly. No, and so we would have that freedom if we had a Facebook page. It's just whether or not we
yeah.
can keep up. Okay, Meredith.
Oh,
yeah.
Really quickly, I sort of missed your reasoning for why you eliminated email as an outreach strategy. So I'm just going to elaborate on that.
Yeah, so for the social media strategy, and it's not like we don't ever use email, the CDC's recommendation, the tool recommendations, was that it was not beneficial given our goals, because it didn't help to like build partnerships and community outreach, and it was less of a two-way opportunity for two-way conversation. I could go back and to the tool and actually, if you were more interested, give you the more detailed reasons that it didn't recommend it. We still use, we still disseminate our update through email to a small group, but it's not the primary way. Thank you.